This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio for the 13th season. It's a long time. Live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios, it's Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the Mix 104.1 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, it's the first show. Yeah, we hadn't talked to each other. I tried.
Who are you?
He told me not to talk to him until February. So we got that all worked out. First show of the year.
It was close. It was a little too – you called me a little too soon.
Too early, yes. With you. So much has happened for us to get you caught up on in the off season. We've got qualifying tonight. That's the cool thing. As soon as we leave here, we'll roll to the house and catch some qualifying and maybe a little bit of practice too. And then the Twin 125s are tomorrow night. We'll go through each of the teams, or maybe just four, because we probably won't have a lot of time with everything we've got to go over, and give our expectations as well as set our first fantasy lineup. I don't know if we can do that today, though.
Actually, you can. It's live.
Oh, so they have to.
As of this morning, it was live.
We'll tell you who we expect to win the Great American Race. That's all on today's Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host. There we go. That's one.
Jamie Kyle. Keeping count today.
To my radio right, it's crickets. I mean, the first day, he didn't tell his boss the first day that he had to be here. You know, he could miss everything else, but the first day he had to be here for sure, and that's Mr. All Things Alabama, Jason Hildebrand. The man spinning the tune, spinning opinions, and keeping us on the air sits across the table, and that is the super producer, Scotty Webb. All right, so we got a new segment one. Do what?
No, go right ahead.
No, we got a new segment one sponsor. And some of the drivers last week at the Clash had some motor issues, or maybe they should have pitted for tires. They should have called Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires and making sure your car is running great is their passion. They have a courtesy car, so you don't have to miss work. They're locally owned and located off of North Lee Highway. Give them a call today at 423-479-3365, and they'll get you back on the road today. All right, can I have 2 seconds?
No, hey, it's your show, buddy. It's your world.
Well, I just want to get in.
I haven't been living in it for the last couple months, but I'm happy to be back in it.
So, go right ahead. Real quick, my dad passed away a little over a month ago, and he, as when I was a kid, involved me in his hobby, and that was NASCAR. And so I look back on a lot of, you know, my love for the sport is because of him. And so the one thing that I will miss this year is being able to talk to him every week like we did. He always thought, Scott, that I was, you know, some important member of the media. And I didn't ever tell him that we were just, you know,
just three dudes in a room talking.
Correct. But he always
talking
wanted,
into microphones.
He always wanted information that he could share with his friends and was always super proud to get it. He introduced me to Richard Petty in the 200th race to Daytona, to Talladega, to Atlanta, to a lot of his friends, and I'm very appreciative for it. And, you know, probably wouldn't be doing this if he wouldn't have introduced me to NASCAR. So
especially wouldn't be doing it for 13 years.
Correct. Love him and miss him, but I know if your family or friends have Parkinson's, dementia, call me. I had to deal with that with him, and so glad he's relaxed now and in a better place. So, all right, for the first time, Scott, since 1996. Now, that was the year after I graduated high school. That was 10 years after you graduated high school. Tony Stewart.
Nine years.
Tony Stewart will not be involved in NASCAR. And so I think that's
– Tony looks pretty comfortable about it.
He just had a baby over the offseason. He, you know, has been doing some drag racing while his wife's been out. He's always involved in something with motorsports. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think and get your opinion on this, because I know me and you both kind of really like Tony, but what he did for the sport, what he was able to accomplish in the sport, and then, you know, what his legacy is in the sport.
Well, I mean, he was obviously able to, you know, was it three-time champion?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head. three-time champion, obviously won a ton of races, you know, was really the first guy I can remember that did the double.
Right.
You know, he had a passion. He just has a passion. It reminds me a lot for young kids out there. It reminds me a lot of Larson, where it's just if it's a moving vehicle, he wants to try to race it.
Right.
And I think that, you know, he did the NASCAR thing for a long time and was very successful, had a team. They had a lot of success. But maybe it was just time for him to do. You get guys like that they have such passion and drive to do stuff,
yeah,
that, you know, eventually their interests wane with one and something else kind of replaces it. And maybe it was just time for him to move away from the sport. I mean, we've got a lot of great stories. A lot of great drivers. It's going to be an incredible Sunday this week at Daytona. But it's going to be a little bit sad to not have them be a part, him specifically be a part of. He'll always be an extended as a former champion and be part of the family. But to not have him actively involved in the sport is a little disappointing.
And I think the legacy side may be his opinion. He always had an opinion on what he thought should be right. And I think that's something that will always be remembered. I mean, especially those interviews were classic.
Well,
I mean,
that was the one thing. You never had to ask what he thought about something, because
right,
he would more than graciously give his opinion, whether you wanted it or not. So those are those type of individuals. I think Kyle Busch has some of that.
Yeah.
Kevin Harvick had that are just willing to, you know, to speak their mind is good for the sport. And it's going to be disappointing to have one of those voices not be actively involved week to week in the sport.
Second thing, Clash, I had this down at the bottom because I thought of it late. But, you know, the Clash thoughts at Bowman Gray. I'll give you just a real quick opinion. I think if we're going to run a short track like that, let's not put it in a stadium. Let's go to a local track to help the economy. And help the economy help. I mean, who knows if a –
just the upgrades they had to do for the facility,
right,
to make it work.
But then also, you know, the hotels. Nobody thinks about that. There's hotel motel taxes that go into tourism and everything else for these cities, and which can be used to do other things in the city to make it better. And so I think if they're going to continue to do this – and I thought the racing was good. I thought, you know, for what they were able to accomplish, you know, I really wish maybe it goes longer. There's some things that we can mess with the way they do it, but as far as the racing itself, as far as the place it happened at, I'm all for going back there or finding something somewhere else and doing it.
No, and I think there was a lot of buzz, and I think there's probably a good chance that they will go back. I like I mean I grew up watching at a quarter mile track in Michigan,
right,
asphalt track in Michigan, Flat Rock Speedway. So I would love to see I like the format. I like the event. There's some tweaks I would make to the format. I think there's too many cars in the final race.
A 20 and roll.
I think they should probably do some heats and take the top 8 or 10 from each heat and
right,
do one 20 lap or not 20 car race at the end. So I think there was a little too many cars on the track for that. But other than that, I thought it was a great experience. And I love the fact that they kind of are getting back to their roots a little bit and going back and running some of these events at places that, no, they're not going to run a regular season event there. But it gives them the opportunity. Like the Xfinity cars, well, we can still call it Xfinity this year, and the trucks are going back to Rockingham.
Yeah.
And things like that, I remember those tracks, and they had an impression on me. And they were legendary tracks in the sport. And I think the more we can do that, sometimes I just think the sport got too big. It got too far away from its roots. And
right,
it seems like it's trying to make an effort to kind of, while it wants to continue to grow, and we're going to have, you know, places like Montreal and Mexico City that are going to be in the schedule on down the road, I think. It's still great to be able to go back in and kick off your season at one of these vintage tracks that more than likely a lot of these guys have driven at the track at some point in their career going up the, you know, climbing the ladder.
Well, historically, NASCAR raced there.
I just think it made a lot of sense. I thought it was a good move. I thought it was a good night. the crowd that was jam-packed. So all that stuff matters.
Yeah.
And if you put it in an 80,000-seat stadium and there's 30,000 people there, it just it aesthetically it looks bad on TV. You cram 30,000 people into Bowman Gray, they're standing on top of one another.
And put it less than 100 miles from the race shops.
Right. It was so it's great. So I think there's things they can do. There's places they can go. There's Hickory. There's other stuff they've talked about potentially doing. And like I said, the impact it has economically on not only the community, but the track itself. So, some of the improvements that NASCAR had to – NASCAR's got plenty of money. So when they dump in a little bit of money, that is going to be – that's going to impact that track for years to come. It's not just that event. Yes, it's that event. There are things they had to do to make sure they could have the event there. But that impacts the racing at that event and continues to grow the sport in a grassroots setting. Hats off. I thought it was well done.
And you think about it, I think I told you guys this story, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, coming back from a conference in North Carolina and not being able to find MRN or PRN on the radio in stinking North Carolina. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of hope that it brings some of those old race fans back out or gets them involved again. All right, so Cole Custer heads up the one-car Haas factory team that Tony Stewart vacated as an owner. I think, Scott, they are going to struggle, and I think they're going to struggle mightily.
The organization, when it was four cars, last few years,
but I think money was absent. You lose Kevin Harvick, and you lose leadership. There were some things that contributed to that. Having one car in a multi-car dominated sport is going to be extremely difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of where the sport is now. You've got to have. You're trying to get multiple sets of data to try to help get your car better. And when you had, now I'm sure they have some sort of prearranged partnership, but it's not the same when it's just your team and your data. So it's going to be a struggle. We've seen these single car teams are kind of going, you know, there's still a few of them out there, but even some of the organizations that we've seen in the past run single cars, they're now run two cars or even three cars. So it's going to be a struggle for them. It's been a struggle for the last couple of years. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Chase Briscoe goes over to the 19 car, formerly Martin Truex Jr.'s car.
And who so will be actually running at Daytona.
At Daytona, yeah.
I saw an interview with him today.
You think with Briscoe taking over a pretty good car, I think what we'll see, this is my comment here, I think we will see that it was either driver or car. Briscoe can wheel a car. He's young. I think Truex was slightly conservative. So I think that's one of the things that, to me, it would be that you'll see if it's Cole Pearn. Is it Cole Pearn still? No.
Pearn is actually crew chief in for Truex.
That's right. So the other guy that's from Australia or whatever, that we'll see if it's them or if it was the driver. That's one of the things that we'll look at there. I wanted to go over a couple of sponsors we have before we get into a little bit of 2311 in Front Row. So we have a new Shock Finisher of the Week sponsor, and that's going to be brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading. They're locally owned for two generations. Caldwell Paving and Grading paves driveways, roads, and with their own asphalt plant, they can pave interstates too. Give them a call at 423-336-3841 for a free quote today. We also jump into our Victory Lane interview, and that's going to got a new sponsor for that as well. Look, Scott, they were knocking down the doors to get on this show.
They wanted it bad.
I love small business, and that's what we do this for, is to be able to highlight small business. And this Victory Lane interview will be brought to you by Quick Check Convenience Store. This is my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus Midnight Oil gasoline for your car and Midnight Oil 100% gasoline for your lawn equipment. You know you're supposed to be using that for that. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road, stop by and fill up today. So a little bit of 2311 Front Row. One of the things I talked about on the morning show this morning was that a couple things can happen in this situation. We have no charters for the three cars for 2311 and the two cars, I believe, for Front Row.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
So we got five cars that would typically be in every race guaranteed that now, and Denny said the only place this would be an issue probably would be your super speedways if something happened.
Right, you would want to guarantee, you set your position. I mean, everybody qualifies.
Right.
Tonight we'll be qualifying. They'll separate them out. They'll have two races tomorrow, and that's what sets the field.
Right.
So you got to be in, those.
Can't wreck.
They can't wreck.
Yeah. So when you think about that, they can either not be in a race with all the sponsorship money that Michael Jordan and Denny have gotten for their team, and Bob Jenkins with Love's Truck Stop, stuff like that, or On the flip side, they don't want to go to a race. They don't have to.
No, they don't have to.
So a lot is into this deal as far as is the whole lawsuit pending. And we know from just talking to Alex, it's not just the you know, whether the charters and them making the race or not making the race is the deal. This is things that affect on down the line that were new ideas or new things NASCAR was going to do that they're not able to do now because they're in a lawsuit, which could cost them a crap ton of money.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's sad they couldn't. Normally what you are hoping is that they would get together and collectively bargain this out, because you never want the, because you never have any idea what the courts are going to decide.
Right.
That becomes a wild card. Now, I'm not dismissing that as that can't happen. My guess is that's probably where we'll still end up, is in some sort of collectively bargain. But if it does go the distance and a judge has, then you have, there's no base for where the ruling or verdict could go.
Right.
I mean, it could totally benefit 2311, or they could say, we're totally siding with NASCAR. There is no, you didn't sign the charter.
Right.
You're now, if you want to race, you just have to race like everybody else without a charter. So we'll see how it all plays out. There's a lot of information out there. I'm not going to make an opinion of what the court's going to do, but it's going to be interesting. And it's an interesting time in the sport, as the sport seems like it's in good health. And you've got upcoming TV deals getting ready to hit the books here in the next few years.
That's where I think we'll.
I think that's the gist of it, is they're trying to get things set up so that when the big TV money comes in, that they're getting a little bigger piece of the pie.
But that shows you how far that can go out. When considering negotiations and stuff like that,
right?
Could be a part of that.
You know, live sports is still live sports, and they're making, even though viewership is quote unquote down, everybody wants and is going to compete for that live sports package, and we'll see what that all plays out. But I think a lot of this is just positioning, getting themselves ready for what's going to happen when that contract comes due.
Steve mentioned something about Nielsen. He's talking at the Super Bowl this morning. Mentioned something about how Nielsen is rating differently on TV, and that we'll see like a jump pretty much in every sporting event, because if the Super Bowl, they said, was the most watched Super Bowl. Well, I can't get that. Especially, you know, the second quarter might have been the highest point, but after it got out of hand, I'm sure it was gone. But I wonder if that will change some of the numbers we see.
You can't look at traditional numbers, because that's not how people are consuming the product anymore.
Right.
It's totally like, I have YouTube TV. I don't know how they do, rating based upon what I'm watching via stream compared to cable or over the air TV. So I think it's going to be interesting how all that plays out. It's all going to factor into the TV deal, which is really the gist of what's going on here, because that's going to be the next big boon in the sport. You know, how much money is NASCAR willing to give up? Are they making decisions that are going to be mutually beneficial? It's still a unique situation. And we've talked about it on this show hundreds of times, right, about our opinion on whether or not they should be franchises or not franchises, or how all that stuff's going to work. So it's something to keep an eye on, but we're not going to have any resolution anytime soon.
So
that means they're going to have to race their way in.
Correct. Which is going to be kind of fun. And at least makes tomorrow night, you know,
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
you don't want to get, you know, what do they do?
You have no choice.
What is, you know, Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace, two guys that can win this race.
Yeah.
But if they just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, they're packing it up and heading back to North Carolina.
Yeah, with no chance of provisionals, that would be the only
right
thing.
Right, and then you're in a massive hole from a point standpoint. If you're trying to, Tyler Reddick was in the Final Four last year.
Yeah.
He could have won a championship, and he could miss the Daytona 500. That's how crazy this is.
That's wild. All right, so one last thing, and then we'll get to WebIve, and then we'll head out to break. So Dale Earnhardt Jr., pretty pumped up that he's got a cup car for the first time. Junior Motorsports is following his dad's footsteps and is putting in the Justin Allgaier-driven number 40 car. And I believe it's by some whiskey company that's sponsoring that particular deal that's tied to a country music singer. But I saw video on Twitter this morning. That dude rode down the truck with them, and he got out, watched them unload it, stood in the thing. He took it all in. And so he had an interview this afternoon and said something about they're still trying to work on some speed, but really looking forward to practice. So will be interesting to see a Dale Earnhardt Jr. owned car and
trying to make a bid series. To qualify. Yeah, so, I mean it's a step, and I think it's a step that we thought Jr. probably would have already taken.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, I think they're starting to dip their toe into thinking on down the line. And being more a part of that series of the sport.
Probably so. And this is a stupid idea, but if he's positioning himself to where, if what if 2311 and Bob Jenkins and them don't ever get a charter and those charters are available and they become instantly cheaper?
I mean, I think I don't know that that's I don't think that's his thought process now, but obviously it could benefit somebody like that who could. Who could instantly, I think if they wanted to, he could instantly fund a team. He could go out there and find the money to fund a team to run the full season. I just don't think they're ready to make that kind of commitment. But if anybody could pull it off, Junior could. So
absolutely.
It's going to be interesting to see.
All right. You probably saw some information today on Twitter and on Facebook and maybe some yesterday. I can't remember. I thought I saw it. I didn't know if you posted that, Scott.
I did post that yesterday.
Right. So Scott, very active on Twitter. So you noticed the WebIve digital marking was probably a little more professionally done than the Weber over here.
Than the Web.
Maybe. Well, I had the BB on the, or the BER on the end. But WebIve Digital Marketing, anytime there's breaking news or mention of us on Twitter or on Facebook, it's done by WebIve.com and WebIve Digital Marketing. Make sure that if you want your business portrayed in a positive way on social media or just want them to help you with some of your digital marketing, give them a call. Or, a matter of fact, just go to their website and reach out that way. That's WebIve.com. That's WebIve Digital Marketing. America Wagner, she does a great job. You can reach out to her. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. News in the world of NASCAR. We don't have any yet, so we're going to break down four teams and try to figure out who's going to have the best year out of the four right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios and Finish Line Radio. Heated. I wish it was covered by the rain. Wish Dale could do that. That's Dale's Heating and Air. It's his birthday yesterday. I think he's, I ain't going to say his age. Give them a call if it's not, if your heat is not heating your house or it's getting ready to be hot, folks. You know, in East Tennessee, all you got to do is wait 15 minutes and the weather will change. You want to make sure that air conditioner will pop on. When you need it to, give them a call at 509-8787 or just call dales.com. All right, it's time for news in the world of NASCAR, and that's brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. This is my pharmacy and has been for years. If your insurance is denying you weight loss drugs, Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds. That's number two. that you can pay cash for and are as low as $154. In the coming weeks, I'll mention names of what those are, so you can go in and call them by name. But for now, you can find out more information if you go by and see them at Mouse Creek on Mouse Creek Road at 570 Mouse Creek Road, or give them a call 790-0443. Gotham and Jason are fantastic. Been my pharmacist for years. Used to be at the old Rite Aid, and then when Rite Aid closed, they went over and started their own. That's Mouse Creek Pharmacy. All right, so I picked four teams, just random, to kind of talk about and see. How we think these guys will fare this year. And you know, so HMS, Hendrick Motorsports, I think that judging by the clash, judging by person or the way he was acting, something's different with Chase Elliott in a good way. And I think that they're poised to have a good season. Didn't have a good season at all last year. So I think HMS with Larson and Elliott in the 24. I really don't know if Alex Bowman will ever become what used to be in the 48 car or even close to that.
Well, who
could, right?
Who could?
But, I mean, as far as, like, you know, it would almost be like he would be the weakest link.
I think Bowman is what he is. He's a guy that's usually they have that 6 week stretch where they look like they're the best car in the series, and they go out there and they win a race and they're super competitive. You know, Byron had a great year last year. Larson had a great year last year. I mean, you could argue that Larson was, you know, you take the not making it back to the 600 out, and maybe he's in the finals and with a chance to win. But Elliott was the one that kind of stuck out to me, and you can't get too caught up in one short track race that's, you know, and what all that looked. But it seems like maybe there is a little bit of, a little dog coming out of him that I think they have something to prove. Kind of like what I thought was going to help him with Kyle Busch a couple of years ago when he made the switch to Childress. And they started out well. Elliott needs to be consistent. They need to go out there. They've got to win some. It's not that he doesn't run well.
Right.
They just aren't winning enough races. And they're not putting themselves in position to win enough. Have a lot of top tens and all that sort of stuff, but you got to give yourself an opportunity. I think that's the car to watch. If I had to not predict champions or anything like that, but I think they're going to have a strong year.
Penske coming off a championship with basically your one car trying to run down another to win the championship. I mean, first and second, pretty good year for Roger Penske. Hard to kind of to repeat that. But I will say with the drivers they have, Sands, the guy in the number two car, I think the 12 and the 22, you almost have to look at as championship contenders from the start.
Yeah, the only thing you would want out of them is a little more consistency throughout the year. Yeah. I mean, Logano was terrible the first half of the season last year.
Charles Barkley terrible.
Yeah, I mean, terrible. But, you know, what you want, they're just looking to make sure they get into the playoffs.
Right.
Because they've got some secret mix, some formula that if they get to the playoffs, you know they're going to be dangerous. The problem is they've had, they were struggling to get – Blaney was in kind of solid, but Logano was a struggle. I mean, they got that late win, to kind of solidify themselves. But they spent most of last year without a victory.
Right.
So you're wanting to see them come out and have a better, more consistent year. Now, that's easier said than done, but if you're going to put your faith in anybody, you're going to put your you're going to put your faith in an organization that's won back-to-back championships. So I want to see more consistency out of them, but I think they're going to have a very good year.
And you can, as the 22, I was getting ready to say, well, if you're a Joey Logano fan or if you're Penske, you're probably thinking, he may not do that well throughout the year, but when the lights come on, at the end of the year is when he kind of shines. But you can't do that every year. You can't wait. You've got to have some consistency early and get in if you're
– They just got to have a better start.
Yeah.
And with Logano, it's been one of two things. Either they start out hot and then they just drop off the map for 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Right.
And then they pick it back up towards the end. Now, some of that may be purposeful. They may be building momentum. I mean, but I know what these guys are. When they get behind a wheel, they're trying to win.
Yeah.
It just seems like they have been less consistent, especially earlier in the year. But if they get there, I mean, they're going to be one of the top two or three favorites to win the thing again. They've just been that good in the playoffs.
So Joe Gibbs Racing, I don't know where Joe Gibbs Racing is now. I think, of course, if you're grandson is running, you're going to put him in a car. I think that brings the organization down some until Ty kind of figures it out. Bringing Briscoe over is definitely a plus and going to do well. And then Christopher Bell is probably your bell cow unless, Briscoe kind of steps up and does something in the 19 car.
Well,
it could go either way for Gibbs, I think.
Well, I mean, first of all, they're always going to – they just always put out good equipment.
Right.
And Hamlin is always going to be in the mix. You could argue the last two or three years, Denny's been the best – driver in the sport. He just can't. They can't seem to get out of their own way. Briscoe in the 19 is interesting because it's a young, aggressive driver, and he's probably in the best equipment he's ever been in. So it'll be interesting to see how that team reacts. Christopher Bell is the one for me. It's Christopher Bell's at that stage in his career where he needs to take the next step. He's been very good. He's won championships in other levels. He's put himself in position and made it to Final Fours and done that. But he needs to take that next step where he's competing to win the most races throughout the year. He has that kind of talent. Can they do that? Can he do that? We'll see. But I think it's a big year for Bell.
I think the big year, this kind of might be my first show bold prediction that I'll regret midseason.
We're recording these, so we can always come back to them later.
So I think Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing is going to look like a whole new team this year with bringing Ryan Preece over and putting him in the 60 car, with having Chris Buescher already having success, with Brad kind of getting through or getting over the proverbial, you know, hump last year, getting a win. I think it's one of those things where they've mentioned, or Brad's mentioned, that they've found some stuff and they think they're going to be a lot better this year. We hope so. I know you're a Roush fan. I hope so. Just for the fact that, you know, that name is so synonymous in NASCAR, and if we can keep that name viable.
And that blue oval needs another organization to show up. And, you know, there's plenty of Chevys out there. Obviously, right. You got Gibbs and what they've done in Toyota and all that sort of stuff. So this is a big year. You know, I think Brad knew that it was going to take 3, 4, 5 years to really get that organization where he wants to. And they had a lot of success. And you know, you had a great end to the 23 season, which you thought would really build momentum into 24. And while 24 was not a bad year, it was probably below what their expectation level was.
Right.
I think this is going to be a year where they need to come out of the gate and have some strong runs early. Obviously, he'll be one of the favorites. He'll be one of the picks that you may want to include in your fantasy lineup because he does such a good job. But he needs to learn. He needs to win one of these.
Right.
I know he's the Super Speedway active career leader right now.
But all those have come at Talladega.
They have come, and they've come a long time ago.
Yeah.
So but he's always in the mix. It's now they got to go out and try to finish it. This is going to be a big race for him to start the year.
One more driver I think that I want to talk about real quick is Kyle Busch. You mentioned him earlier. He's at Richard Childress Racing. Seems to have a new crew chief. I know that, and got a new crew. So we'll see if that changes things. But what happens to Kyle Busch if this year winds up looking like last year?
I don't know. Last year was such a struggle. Now they did. They could have won 2 or 3 races right there before the playoffs. So they seem to, when their backs were against the wall, they seem to respond. I need to see them respond a little quicker. You know, they've struggled as an organization with speed. Obviously, it's not Super Speedway. He'll be in the mix this week. This week is just about getting to the end. But can they be more consistent week in and week out? And that's going to be a big test coming out of the gate here. They've got to figure out a way to find speed at tracks they haven't had speed before. Everybody's optimistic this time of year. It's like spring training right now.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks their team is going to be great. We'll see what happens when the rubber hits the road. But they've got some ground to make up, that's for sure.
I don't think we've ever used rubber hits the road and we're on a NASCAR show.
13 years, and I just broke a streak.
Nice. All right, so when we do the Cup standings, the NASCAR Cup standings, got a new sponsor with that this year, and that's going to be Bree Maia with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call, 269-598-6243 today. This is where I would normally say, Scott Webb, take it away. But now I'm going to say, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll get you ready for Daytona. And then it is the Rick Karp fantasy time. We'll jump all over it and pick our fantasy standings. Then our fantasy standings. Pick our fantasy drivers. And then who we think is going to win right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios and Finish Line Radio, heated by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, Jason. Working on
who?
The first day.
Who?
I mean, like, again, I think when he said he had it blocked out on his calendar, my boss looks at my calendar. He knows I ain't there.
We got NASCAR to talk about.
That's right. So it's time to move on to the next race in life. Your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call at 763-1000. All right, we head to Daytona. This week is the Great American Race, or as Heartline called it this morning, the granddaddy of them all. He mixed the Rose Bowl up with the...
To his defense, he had me on, I think, 3 or 4 years ago before we started back. I was at some remote he had, and I think I said that about three times during that. I couldn't get granddaddy of them all out of my...
You've ruined it.
It is the granddaddy of them all, but... It's the Great American Race.
That it is. All right, we got a new sponsor this year, and they want to sponsor our schedule. And the schedule for this weekend is brought to you by Clarity Property Management. CPM is a locally owned property management company that handles finding tenants, collecting rent, and handles all maintenance issues. In fact, they are currently looking for a maintenance specialist right now. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in, give them a call at 423-458-2600. Give us that schedule, Webb. The longest one of the year.
It is the longest one of the year. Lots of stuff going on here tonight at 8 o'clock. Single car qualifying starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow on FS. That was on FS1 tonight. FS1 tomorrow, 5 p.m. Be truck practice. They have race day at 6, and then the duel start at 7 o'clock. They'll run two duels. And I don't know this. I can't remember the sponsor of the duels off the top of my head.
Isn't it like some sort of what do you do?
Well, I
can't
remember.
When you go to a property to look at it, it's a property share or something like
timeshare,
that.
One of the timeshares.
Yeah, it's like green, blue, green properties.
Yep, that may be it. So those will be tomorrow starting at 7 o'clock. There'll be two. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully get some good action on the track Friday. We got truck qualifying at 3 o'clock on FS1 on the CW, the home of the Xfinity Series. They have a... They'll be on tomorrow for practice. You got cup practice on FS1 at 6:30. And then 7:30, you got trucks. They'll run 20, 20, and 60 in their stages. On Saturday, 10 o'clock, the CW has their qualifying. Fox has the ARCA series at 12. And FS2 has cup practice at 3 o'clock tomorrow. CW pre-race starts. Their coverage at 4, the Xfinity is 30, 30, and 60. And the big one, the granddaddy of them all.
Wow.
The Great American Race on Sunday at 12:30 with race day. The Cup race starts at 2:30. Jamie is okay with it for this particular race.
It's
because
not 3:30.
It's not 3:30. 65, 65, and 70 are the stage links.
That was a lot. So that was probably one of the longest I've ever heard you or anybody have to read a schedule, but it'll be the longest of the year. But that's the cool thing about what this week is. We lost all of, the speed weeks from the past. And it's one of those things where, you know, they used to have the practice times. You remember they'd go out there with those primered cars and not have anything but their number on the side of it. And you'd kind of build up, then you'd have the Busch Clash, then you'd have that. So, or the race itself, and now starting on Wednesday, which this just started a couple of years ago, qualifying at night on Wednesday. It used to be on Sunday afternoon before the Super Bowl.
Well, they'd have the clash on Saturday, and then they'd qualify on Sunday, and then have I think it's always the duels have always been on
Thursday. Have always been on Thursday,
but yeah. They used to run in the afternoon. Then you'd have to watch them on tape delay. That's
Or, Nobody. As my dad would do, he would record them on VHS, and then you'd go back and go that route. So
I like that.
It was always always kind of fun. So, Scott, just something that sticks out. We're running. That's what happens on the first show. You just kind of – you got to catch up on everything. But something sticks out to you, memory of the Daytona 500, excluding the Earnhardt passing away. But what's one of the memories of the Daytona 500?
I don't know. Just I got the fortune to go to the Daytona 500 a couple years ago, and I'll never forget that. It's just – my whole life, I've watched this race for 40, 50 years,
yeah.
And to be actually there and to be a part of it, and I think it was actually at the time the longest Daytona 500 in record. It felt like it, but it, you know, It's just the biggest. It's the Super Bowl, and this is the only sport where your biggest race of the year is your first race. So it's there's been so many great runs, so many great things that have happened. Hopefully the weather and all that stuff is going to be great, and we just get a great race because it is just a great way. The focus of the country is going to be on this race this Sunday, and it's an opportunity to go out there and show out, and I'm sure these guys will on Sunday.
Absolutely. I keep thinking back to just the, you know, the Trevor Bayne win. You think about some of the guys that kind of – and really with the Trevor Bayne win at Daytona, nobody really knew who Trevor Bayne was. And when you win at Daytona, it is – you're going to the Tonight Show. You're going to you're going to New York for media. You're going to do all these things, and your name is forever, you know, sketched on the Harley J. Earl trophy. And you think about how long Scott Dale Earnhardt tried to get to, you know, his name on that trophy, and how many times he came.
That was, you know, the all-time wins leader at Daytona, and it took him forever just to get the one that mattered.
To 98, yeah, that was the big thing. So, just a lot of memories like that, and you know, but then you can kind of go back to where. What started it all? I mean, in 79, when Yarborough and Allison get into it, and then, Bobby comes down, and it's 2-on-1 at that point in time, and just to see that kind of in slow motion with Ken Squire and those guys. And then, you know, I'll take it further. You had Eli Gold, Barney Hall, and yes, I'm going, but I'm, you know, and then now Alex Hayden in there. So it just makes it, you know, when you think about that, that's what the memories that that I have. So, all right, we need to take a break. When we come back, as my producer is rushing me to roll, it's the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings. We'll get to those, and I guess I better go pick my drivers right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. Heated by Dale's Heating and Air. Was just reading on Twitter about Dale Earnhardt had a novel idea. He said, open up the track for practice, and if somebody wants to go practice, they can practice. If they don't, they don't have to. I think he's a little mad that they hadn't found the good speed yet. So, trying to work that out. All right, it's time for the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings, and those are brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Did you know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team, Scott?
I did not.
They're the perfect sponsor for this show because, guess what? They race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com. For more information. All right, well, it all kind of looks somewhat similar. I went to look and see if my name was on the list since I won the playoffs last year. I actually, you know, Alex and I were talking a couple days ago, and I was trying to figure out a schedule and if it would work out for this, and they're going to be working the whole time, and so I asked him to look for my speed record up at Daytona in the press box, and he said he would. But unfortunately, I'm not on this list. All right, so I'm going with Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski, Bubba Wallace, Joey Logano, and Mr. Ryan Preece in the 60 Kroger car. What a pickup for RFK. And then I got Eric Jones in the garage. My featured matchups, I've got Logano over Hamlin, Blaney over Elliott, Larson over Bush, and Bubba Wallace over Byron. Real quick, good pick. William Byron, good pick. Brad Keselowski, this is for NASCAR.com. Avoid Kyle Larson, avoid Tyler Reddick and the sleeper. And if he wins, I may not be on the show next week. AJ Allmendinger. What you got?
Some similar names. Christopher Bell, who we talked about earlier, I think is going to have a big year. This is a big year for him. Ryan Blaney and Brad Keselowski, because those two Fords are going to be up near the top all race long. Kyle Busch and Austin Dillon. Now, Kyle Busch, he's had an opportunity the last couple of years to win this thing, and they just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. When I was there 2 years ago, he probably should have won the race.
Right.
And Dillon, this is one of those tracks where because of the way the format is set up, you got to find You can't just.
He won it 2 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah. So a guy more than capable, if he's going to win, it's going to be on a super speedway. So those are my five. I got Michael McDowell driving a Chevy this year. So we'll see how all that goes. But he's a good super speedway racer as well. I got Hamlin over Logano. Provided that
Hamlin may ride around the back the whole time. You know,
well, he's. I think he's going to be out there He's going to be out there playing.
Well, he's in
protector for those other two cars.
That's
probably
we didn't talk about. That's probably he could do that.
I got Blaney over Elliott. I got Bush over Larson, and I got William Byron over Bubba Wallace.
Right.
And I do want to mention, I put it out on Twitter yesterday. A link you can join. It's a NASCAR. You can go to just do a Google search for Fantasy NASCAR and go to NASCAR.com, sign in. You have to create an account and then just search for the Rick Cartledge Fantasy Racing League, Finish Line Radio. Either one of those, you can type in the search, join the league. We'd love to have you. It's a lot of fun. It gives us something to talk about here at the end of the show, and it gives us a little interaction with the fans.
We bash people.
A lot of people, but most of them are your friends. And I'm using friends in air quotes. So we'll see how all that goes.
Yeah, so it should be really interesting, and I know there's some people that are going to join. So we'll have an interesting group of characters as usual. All right, real quick, Scott, who's winning?
You know, every year we always say you could just put 25 names in a hat and pick it out. I think that's will probably always be the case here. I got a sneaky suspicion. I'll take Keselowski. I think this is he needs to go out there and kind of reassess his dominance at a super speedway. They typically run up front. They just hadn't found a way to finish off a race. I'll pick Keselowski this week.
I got 12 on my mind, but I think I'm going to go with 9 because he's in my heart. I think Chase Elliott, the NASCAR's most popular driver, will make that thing a really popular race. And with the momentum is coming with off the clash with the team, I think he gets it done. It'll be interesting. You got to dodge all kinds of crap. So, I mean, who knows? But it's one of those things where they've got the horsepower, they got the driver, they got the team to do it. We'll see if it happens. All right, we did it.
We did it. One down, 45 to go.
Right, and hopefully Jason's here next week so we can have a little less talking from our side. But Alex is going to join us next week. He apologized he couldn't make it on this week because he's actually on the radio right now.
I was going to say he's probably on the radio. So
he's working. We always appreciate him, and he's super pumped to come. So, all right, for Scott Webb, I'm Jamie Kyle. We'll talk to you next week as we break down Daytona. This has been Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air.
On ESPN Cleveland, 101.3.